I'm Richard Grund. This is The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m., we broadcast live here on Spreaker.com. That is Spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. One word. You can also download or listen to archived here on the Spreaker site as well as the old Blog Talk Radio site. We're on iTunes, and there's no reason not to listen. It's free. And we get back to basics, examining the Word of God, the Book of Acts Church, taking a deeper look into the church the Lord wanted, not the one that man created, and boy, do we need it now. The early church, not perfect, but they had the system down. They got people saved, healed, delivered, they shook the world, and here we are again, and we need to do that now, because the church age is still in effect. The fire that fell in the upper room on the day of Pentecost is burning just as hot now as it was then. And if you want it, you can have it. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you have any questions, visit the site, use the contact button, or you can go to firefalltalkradio.com, and you can also find ways to support us so that we can keep doing this. If you like to read blogs, Paranormal and Prophecy is on thebeaconsglare.com, and The Porch has its own blog, WordPress blog, at onsolomonsporch.com. So I'm trying to get back into writing the blog, keeping you up to date. There's a bunch that are up. I'm working on one right now that is pretty shaking. Becoming a little bit of an expose. I want to see what the Lord wants to do with it, because the fallen are not going to like it. But you know what? Don't care what they like. Always start with praise reports and prayer requests, because we enter His courts with thanksgiving, with praise. We don't just show up and beg and whine and moan and groan. We praise Him. We tell Him how great He is. We magnify His name. And wherever you are right now, whether listening live or archived, as I'm doing this, you want to raise your hands, you want to begin to praise Him, you want to begin to shout and scream and dance and sing, well, nobody's listening except Him, so go ahead and do it. I praise Him for His mercy on America. You may not all agree with me, but I've written a blog that explains where I came from in this election. And I believe that we got a reprieve. We have a short time of mercy where we need to repent and we need to do what's right. But it's a very short time, folks. And what's really interesting is the Lord's been talking about this to me for a while. And He has not allowed me to share anything. And people will send me, hey, this guy's saying this and this prophet's saying that. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, You already told me all this. Can I share it? Nope, You can't. So for whatever reason, He shares it with me, and I get to keep it. But He told me this would happen, and He told me why He's doing it. But He also told me it is a short reprieve. And I can't say He said this, but this is what I feel in my spirit. We have 3.5 years to get it right. But I praise Him. I praise Him we have the opportunity to get right. I praise Him that in the middle of all this darkness, we can be the light. I praise Him for protection for me, my home, my family, my pets. I praise Him for those things, all that I have. I am thankful for the shoes on my feet, the socks, the clothes on my back and other parts of my body, the food that He gives us. There may come a time when we won't have those things, but I'll praise Him anyway. The fig tree failed to blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, yet will I praise Him. I praise Him for you, for this ministry, for His favor and provisions, for the dreams and the visions, for sharing things with me, even if I have to keep them to myself. I praise Him for the cross, for the empty tomb, and for the upper room. My prayer is for America, for the same thing that I praised Him for, that the body, believers, would be willing to rise up in prayer and warfare. It's a time of chaos is coming. I shared that Sunday night on Reflections in the Dark. The Lord told me, out of chaos will come order. Well, I think we're getting ready to enter chaos. We're seeing some of that in the country right now. But be that as it may, we will serve him. We will follow his word. We will follow his orders. And we will do it together. So I praise him for that. And my prayer is for you and for the church to be the church in this dark hour, for the provision, for the dreams and the visions, for the doors to open and the favor, that abiding favor, so we can set the captives free, we can heal the sick and destroy the work of the enemy, kick in the gates, plunder the kingdom of darkness, which are the people that they've stolen. A lot of people out there right now that are caught up in darkness, and we have the ability in his name to show them the way. Debbie in Washington, my praise, she says, is that in the midst of our darkness, he shines his awesome, wonderful, glorious light. You know, Debbie, I got to say something. I work on my messages all day on Wednesday, and I usually will get your email and then cut and paste it to read. And very often, what you say lines up with what I'm about to say. So you should praise him for that. Should I, for one, am grateful for the outcome of the election, but not fooled to think the battle is won. It's just beginning. The Lord told me to take up arms and prepare my house as we, his children, are going into a battle that will shake the whole earth and all of mankind. My prayer is that we rise up to the call, to draw so close to the giver of life that we stand against the darkness every day and every minute of the day in every way. His words to Joshua was always reassurance and to encourage not to be afraid, to be strong and to be courageous. It's time. We are his soldiers. We are his army. Led by our mighty, victorious Lord, rise up. We must start with confession, repentance, and action. Give up all worries and concerns to him. So I'm keeping all the Porch family in my prayers. Kim in Fort Mitchell said, my praise reports and prayer request. I am so very thankful for the love that God has for me. He has blessed me with another little baby boy. I want to thank him for giving me life, even though I chose death so long ago. For sobriety and this new chance. For my children, my husband, my mother, my dog, this ministry, and all the brothers and sisters here that pray for each other. For waking up this morning for Jesus, my Savior. I'm praying for my baby boy. They found a cyst in his brain today. They say it's a common thing that probably goes away, but due to my age, it could be a chromosome defect. I'm not even entertaining that thought because I know who my Lord is. I'm praying protection over my family and this ministry and everyone's families. Healing over Stuart and his family, Iva, Mingo, and Bruno. I am praying for this country. America, God gave you a chance you didn't deserve, but who am I to judge? Praying for Donald Trump to reach out to God to guide this country in Jesus' name. Amen to all those things, Kim. Nick in Dallas, prayer request. I suspect that I am dealing with a kidney stone that has not shifted downward, but has started to cause issues from that region. The first appointment to get a CT scan is next week, and I'm asking for the strength to make it until the appointment. Well, we'll just pray for your healing and for the pain to subside. And if he wants to go and get it dealt with, you will. Or he could just make it pass. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names, the only name in heaven and earth by which we may be saved. We come to you boldly, approach the throne of grace and mercy, saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, your sons and your daughters, your children. We just flood that room. We want to be with you. We want to sit in your lap. We want to be in your presence. We just want to see you. We want to smell the scent, the incense in the throne room. We want to bathe in your glory. Thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you made a way for us, the cross. So we thank you for Yeshua, your son, who died in our place, who suffered, died, rose from the grave, and now sits at your right hand in fullness and power, and through the infilling of the Holy Spirit that you sent back, that is your Spirit that serves him, we are empowered, we are filled, we are encouraged to go forward in these times. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for fellowship through technology, and I thank you for the day that comes that we'll be able to do this face-to-face, whether here or in paradise, but here would be nice too. Father, let your will be done. You own it all. Nothing we've asked you for is beyond your reach. Nothing is impossible with you. Open those doors, wake up those benefactors, touch the bodies that need to be touched, heal what needs to be healed, raise what needs to be raised. You prove man wrong every day. You change outcomes. You move mountains. And that's what we ask for each and every one of us, for Kim and Nick and Debbie, and for all of us that are listening. Now, as I play the sound of the shofar, offer up a prayer to him. Offer up something that you're holding on to. Offer it up within the time it takes for that to play, for the vibration that will hit you, hit your ears, hit your words. Speak it out loud. Believe it. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the matter presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Well, here we are, the day after the election, the day after a historic change that has occurred. Like I said, you may not agree with that, but you cannot disagree with the fact that something big happened yesterday. And as I sat here today wondering what is it the Lord wants me to say, and then he took me to Romans 13, starting in verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus the Messiah, and make no provision for the lust for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So that's why I called this lesson, Wake Up. You know, it's funny, is last night stayed up really late waiting for the results. Finally couldn't stay awake anymore and turned everything off about 2:30. Of course, about 30 minutes later, it all changed, but it wouldn't have mattered. I wouldn't have made it. So I was thinking, what could I talk about today on the porch? I could talk about taking a nap on the porch, roll out your little blankets, roll out your little comforters, and let's just all go to sleep. But then I realized, no, we have to wake up. That's the last thing we need to do. We don't need to take a nap right now. We don't need to rest right now. This is the time to wake up. This is the time to understand that we are closer now than ever before. The things that are falling into place, the elements that are coming together, our prophecy living itself out in our eyes, in our lives, understanding that the enemy is planning for something. Now, I'm sure that the fallen are very upset because the other result, I believe, would have hastened their relief and release from prison. I'm sure that they're not happy with this outcome, but they're awake. And they're planning, and they're doing, and probably right now they're very ticked off, which is a very dangerous enemy. When you make a snake angry, they can be a big problem. But that's not a problem to us. But it's urgent now. Do you know how late it is? Time is running out. Wake up. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night's almost gone, but the day of salvation will soon be here. So the warfare starts with you. Remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on that shining armor of right living. Because we, the body, his sons, his daughters, we belong to the day. And we must live decent lives for everyone to see. So don't participate in the drunkenness of wild parties and sexual promiscuity and the darkness that comes from it, of immoral living, of quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And don't even let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. I just took Romans 13, 11 through 14, New Living Translation, and presented it a little differently. But basically, here's what Paul's doing. He's presenting a picture of believers. Remember, this is a book to believers. This is a book to people that believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his only begotten son, Yeshua. This isn't a book to the world. This is a book to us. He's presenting a picture of believers that are asleep, drunken, passed out on their beds in dirty, slept-in clothing. What a visual. We have been so drunk on the wine of the Spirit, and we have gotten fat and lazy on the bread of the Word, forgetting that that was just fuel for the action and the activity that was supposed to take place, because salvation, the imminent return of Messiah, gets closer and closer every minute. And the darkness gets darker, and we should be getting brighter. When we talk about night in that scripture, it is the present age that we live in, which of course is HaSatan's domain. He's the God of this world. Yes, God is the God of all creation and everything is under his feet. But this world physically belongs to Satan and the fallen and their demonic offspring. Now, we are citizens from someplace else. We have diplomatic immunity and we have an authority that's been given to us through the name of Jesus, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But this is not our home. And the day will come when Messiah's glorious reign will be in effect. And when it says it's at hand, oh, it's imminent, it's close. He could return at any moment. Therefore, we have an obligation. Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. James 5:8, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, these were written, almost 2,000 years ago. Slightly less than that. But that's not the point. There is no time in the spirit realm. So when they said it was imminent, it was imminent, and it's imminent now. But because of that, as believers in Messiah, we should have assimilated his character. And one of those things is we should have the character of truth. You know, in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, therefore, if we do what I call inverse logic and we flip that, if I've been to the Father, I've done it through him. Therefore, I've done it through him being the way and the truth and the life that comes from him. He is the truth. He is the life. Now I have truth and I have life. Then why do we have so many believers not living that way? Righteousness and peace come from him. We have no righteousness or peace in this world, though the outcome last night was favorable to those of us who believe a certain way. There'll be no peace because of that. There can be no peace until the Prince of Peace returns. But we can have a confidence, and we have been given ways to endure during those times, like the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You want to walk in the power? Then you better walk in the fruit as well. You can't have the gifts of the Spirit function properly without the fruit of the Spirit functioning at the same time. You'll do more damage than anything. Ephesians 2, 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, which we now know is an armor of light, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the adversary, the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right, let's get real. Being awake at this moment in time is dangerous. And it means warfare. And it means you must fight. Now, you may not be called to engage or go and do what I do with SRT. And I would never ask anybody to do it unless they were called to do it. But you are called to stand for you and your family and what's yours. You are called to stand for the gospel. You are called to stand for those who can't stand for themselves. You can't just be awake. You must be active. You must engage. You must follow orders. Too many people, well, I'm awake. Well, what are you doing? I'm awake. What are you doing with being awake? I don't know. I'm just awake. That's not enough. Oh, it's not enough. I've been doing this now for 28 years, and I can tell you that's not enough. The warfare is hot and heavy. The enemy is fully engaged, fully prepared. And we need prayer warriors. We need people willing to get on their knees. We need people willing to pray and to cover and to intercede. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're physically infirmed. You can pray. You can get a list out. You can get some scriptures ready, and you can pound on the enemy. We call it an SRT aerial support. You can hit them from all places in all directions, South Africa, the United Kingdom, California, Illinois, New York, doesn't matter, Florida, Rhode Island. You can hit him from everywhere. And just think if we were all hitting the same thing at the same time, hitting the same wall and the same door, hitting the same prison that's holding our friends and our families and our loved ones. We can shake things. You know, when Paul talked about light and daytime, that means good, and darkness and nighttime is evil. We belong in the light, and we definitely don't belong in the dark. The time of foolishness is over. It's long gone. We need to stop playing religious games. I have no tolerance for that. Sometimes I'm a little harsh in my intolerance of religious games, but there's people to save. There's things to do. The king is coming. Did you hear what I just said? The king is coming. We need to get ready for the return of the king. We need to get ready. There are people out there that need to hear the truth. There are people in the darkness that need to see a light. And you should understand that. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And you know what's acceptable to the Lord? To have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Messiah will give you lights. See? Then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. You can't make excuses for sins, because the anger of God is going to fall on those, all of those who disobey him. So why are we as a body participating in the things these people do? You're not in darkness anymore. You're in the light, so live that way. If you're going to live in the light, you're going to produce what is good, what is right, what is true. And you will want to please the Lord. And you won't want to take part in those worthless deeds of evil and darkness, but you would rather expose them. You know, Sunday night we talked about some things that are going on out there in this world because of some of the recent revelations in this election. And they're so dark and they're so depraved. And as I began to follow the trail and the Lord began to show me what was going on, it got even darker. And I began to think, oh my goodness, Lord, what are you showing and why are you showing me this? He didn't answer me. So I began to work on this blog that I was going to post by now. But then it started taking on more layers and going down more trails. And I'm sitting here praying. I said, okay, Lord, these are the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And I am willing to expose them. But this is dangerous. So I'm just going to shine the light on it and let the chips fall where they may. But I'm also going to be careful how I live. We need to be careful how we live. We can't live like fools. We have to act wisely. We have to act spiritually. We have to act in love. And we have to take every opportunity to serve him, to know what his will is, and to live out his life and our life in these evil days. That means we need to understand what he wants us to do. Think about it. Singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. And if you've never done that in a small group, you don't get it. Oh, I know the big stuff, the lights and the sounds and the speakers. Yeah, I've been there and it can be moving, but I have never been as moved as I've been in a small group where people begin to praise the Lord from their heart. You can do that by yourself. You can begin to praise him. You can begin to sing whatever songs have been ingrained into your spiritual DNA. And I believe now that it's not that we get pulled into the throne room. I believe he brings the throne room to us. I believe the same wormhole that Ezekiel saw, the wheel inside the wheel, opens things up and it pulls us to him. And him to us. And there is no distance in between. So we need to praise him and be glad. We need to stop complicating our lives. Oh my goodness. The simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of this word, the simplicity of, I'm awake, what do I do now? I'm going to praise him. I'm going to put my feet on the ground. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. I'm going to have my spiritual breakfast. I'm going to get spiritually clean. I'm going to get dressed and go out into that world. And I'm going to be a light into the darkness. You know why? Because I'm awake. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, they're not so awake. I may need to pinch them and wake them up from the bad dream that they're having, the bad dream of their life, the bad dream of their choices. But I'm awake and I can help them. Folks, the games have got to stop. Are you watching what's going on in the world? Are you watching the children that are being abducted? Are you watching the young women that are being taken and what's being done to them? Maybe you don't need to know because it's dark and it's depraved and it's ugly. My wife can tell you, I'll be sitting there reading and studying and the Lord will be showing me stuff and I'll just exclaim out loud how awful it is. And sometimes I get angry at it. Sometimes I have a visceral, physical, righteous anger. And I just want to suit up, grab my stuff, call the guys and say, let's hit it. But I follow orders and I listen to the command of the captain of the host. I'm tired of watching sheep wander off and nobody care. I'm tired of the wolves attacking the flock and nothing being done about it. I'm tired of watching I'm just tired of it, guys. Am I the only one? You know, we have compassion and for the animals and, you know, oh my gosh, they need to be adopted or this one needs to be fixed. Oh, how can somebody throw that one away? But we're doing it to each other. We're doing it to babies. We're doing it to family. We're doing it to the elderly. And the enemy is out there scooping them up, destroying their lives, stealing them, seducing them. And the church is listening to the dog and pony show, and they're caught up in the entertainment, and they're not realizing this is not what we're called to do. And unless you're going to take that fire and that excitement in one day and make it spread out for 6 days while you're out there doing it, it's a waste of your time. That fire of the upper room is still burning. And sometimes that's a fire in my bones that I can have to do all that I can to hold it together. Darkness, the darkness that Paul keeps talking about, whether it's to the church in Corinth or the church in Ephesus or the believers in Rome. When he says, come out from amongst them and be separate, he means it. Because darkness is the ignorance of God and his ways and his desire and his best for us. It means being dominated by sin. Over the years, the 28 years I've been doing this, the number of believers that sit in pews that are tormented, that are hurting, that are broken, that are lost and looking for someone to care is beyond what I have time to tell you. Oh, we want the benefits of being his people, but we don't want to walk with him in his ways. Oh, we love the promise, well, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But we forget the other part. Come out from amongst them, be separate. Don't touch what is unclean. Don't walk in the darkness. Don't have fellowship with unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked to them. Don't walk with the enemy. Don't walk with the fallen. Don't walk in this world in agreement. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless agreed? If you're walking in the sin, if you're walking with someone or something or in some way that is against his word, by implication, you're telling the father and the fallen, hey, I'm okay with this. And at that moment, when it becomes clear where your allegiance is, I will tell you, the fallen and their offspring will look up at the throne room and say, legally, this one is mine and I have a fair shot. Get out of the things that are causing you to do that and get back in the light. Strive to walk in holiness. Strive to walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit walk with you and encourage you and remind you the scripture you need at the moment. Let conviction break through when it needs to. Ephesians 4:18 says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart. And we see that in the world. And unfortunately, we see it in the church. See, the light of the Lord, it's real basic. It's the good news. It's the gospel. It's salvation. He said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Which means if he's the light of life, then we should be too. Be honest with yourself right now. Is there darkness in your life? Are there shadows in your life? Are there areas of your life that you don't feel what I'm talking about? If that's the case, then those are the areas that his light needs to shine. And you need to trust him and let the Spirit shine the light into an area that you need to repent of, that you need to ask forgiveness of. Maybe you need to go to somebody. Maybe the Lord said, help somebody. And you didn't do it. I've been there. I want you to do this. Oh, okay, I'll do that. No, I really want you to do that. Yes, sir, I'll do it. No, I want you to do it now. And it was something uncomfortable. And it was, well, I'll tell you the story. I talk about Larry, my fellow member of SRT. I used to read books about special SEAL teams, of which he was one, and he was in these books. And then the man that was writing the book wrote a book about the true stories about each of those men. And Larry's chapter, it's called The Real Team by Richard Moisenko. Larry's chapter was about him and how he had changed and his salvation. And there was a picture of him standing in front of his RV park, which he and his sisters just opened. And there was a phone number there. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. This guy got saved. He's a believer. That's great. And I put the book down on my desk. And I walked out of my office. And the Lord said, call him. Yes, sir, I'll call him. And I kept going. And he said, I meant now. Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to sit down and call him right now. But he wasn't there. But the phone call wasn't for him. It was for his sister, who had been praying for Christian fellowship and somebody to encourage him. So I wrote him and shared what the Lord was saying to me. And he invited me up to stay with him. And I wanted to preach in at his cousin's church. And here we are all these years later. Obedience will have a benefit. There will be a reward if you'll do it. But you must wake up. Because if you're not awake, you can't hear him. And if you're not awake, you can't do it. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who enter the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Red letters, Matthew 5:14-16. In the world right now, to live that life, they don't want it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. Too bad. Shine the light. That light will guide them to safety. And when they find it, they will thank you. Oh, they may grit their teeth. They may complain. They may push you away. But one thing I know about walking in darkness myself, eventually you want to find that switch. You want that light. You don't want to be in darkness anymore. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. See, we can't take permanent residence in darkness if we're with him. But how can you do that if you're asleep in the darkness of this fallen world? The warning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 8 is this. You are not in darkness, so that this day, capital D, day of the Lord, should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons, and I'll say daughters of the light, and sons and daughters of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let those of us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Who's going to guide them out? When the darkness that he has prophesied and spoken of comes, when the chaos comes, who's going to go help them if you're asleep, if you're unprepared? Going back to Ephesians 5, verses 10 through 14, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. You know, with each one of us, it's something different. What pleases him? Well, sharing the gospel pleases him. Doing what his Father said pleases him. But we must never take part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, but we should be willing to expose them. Are you willing to expose them? I'm not saying, you know, get the sirens and the flashlights and the... No, there's... If you'd done that with me, it wouldn't have worked. But when they did it in love, and they did it with compassion, they were only telling me what I already knew. See, light causes things to be exposed. Light makes things visible. Which is why, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Messiah will give you light. When I stood up from that altar, I rose up from the dead, I was born again, and there was light. I've told you the story, but people came up to me and said, wow. Originally, they thought they had hit me with a spotlight from the cupola, but the spotlight wasn't on. That was the light of the Lord. That was the light of freedom. That was the darkness dissipating that I had lived in my whole life from the day I was born. We must shine, and not by verbally accusing or condemning people. That doesn't work. I'm sorry. I'm not a hellfire and brimstone kind of guy. Frightening people into the kingdom is not my thing, because it wouldn't have worked for me. What got me into the kingdom was love and compassion and patience and being willing to walk with me and pray for me and intercede for me. And if the interceding needed more than what they had, they got people together in prayer. It took a little bit of time. They didn't give up. And here I am, 28 years later. And I lived in darkness. I was darkness. Wake up. Wake up. Awake, O sleeper. You're being called to turn from your sinful ways in the darkness and live in the full light of Messiah, not a half light. Well, I got my foot in the light. Can you see my foot? No, I don't want your foot. I want the whole thing. That's what he's saying. I just don't want your toe. I want the whole thing. I want your heart. I want your mind. I want your talents. I want your abilities. I want you. Step into the light. If you've never been on stage or been in a spotlight, it's an interesting experience. One of the things that I learned, is to not move my feet under the desk while you're talking. One of the things I learned is when you're on stage and the spotlight hits you, you know that you have hit your mark when that light hits you square in the eyes. When it fills your eyes with light, you know that you have hit your mark. That also means you can't see anything. At least I couldn't. So it was a place of faith, but it was also a place I knew I had to get to hit my mark. What do you have to get to hit your mark? What do you have to get to hit to the spot that he needs you to be at the moment you need to be there? We need to stop playing games. Well, I don't have enough scripture memorized. Well, the Holy Spirit will do that for you. Read, study, you'll remember. Eventually it will come, but when you need it, he'll give it to you. He may not give you chapter and verse and where the comment. You may not be the living Bible, literally, but what you will be is someone giving a word in due season and at the moment it's needed. But to do that, you cannot be conformed to this world. You must be transformed. And how does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. That you prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. That means we have to watch that the path we're on, we need to avoid contact with any undesirable influence, anything that is familiar to us, one of our familiar spirits, whatever it might be, alcohol, lust, gambling, pornography, whatever. Whatever your familiar is, you need to stay away from it. And if you haven't figured it out, this life, this world, is a literal minefield. It means you walk watching front, sides, back, to avoid the danger and avoid the enemy. But it also means you walk in such a way to live the gospel by your behavior, by your conduct. You know, when the Lord went up to the Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, to pray before the crucifixion, he took the disciples with him. So they came to the place, and, you know, they'd had that Passover meal, and their bellies were full, and they'd had some wine, and they'd been singing the Psalms on the way. And he needed to go about a stone's throw away to pray. So he said to them, pray. He wanted them to pray, that you may not enter into temptation. Basically, what I think he was saying is, don't fall asleep. So he gets to where he's going to pray. He's alone with the Father. He's distressed because he knows what's coming. He's in a human body. He has seen it. He knows what it's going to feel like. And he says, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And an angel appeared to him from heaven and began to strengthen him. And he was in agony, and he began to pray even harder, more earnestly, and the stress and the anxiety, the tension of it, his sweat began to come out in drops of blood, which is a medical condition of heightened stress, that the blood rises to the top level of your epidermis, your skin, and begins to come out of your pores like perspiration. And now your skin hurts and your body hurts to the touch, and even a breeze can come by and put you in agony. And it says, being in agony, he prayed harder, and then he rose up to go to the disciples. And I believe he was going there for comfort. He was going there for something to help him, and they were asleep. And he said, why do you sleep? Rise up and pray. And of course, at that moment, Judas shows up and betrays him with a kiss. And we know what happens next. But he was agonized in prayer, which was the exact opposite of the disciples that were not vigilant. They had fallen into temptation of being asleep when he needed them awake. And that agony of his prayer at that moment was the supernatural struggle that goes on when you get beyond the normal prayer. when you begin to pray with every ounce of your being. I've been there. Where you begin to weep and you begin to sob so hard you can't breathe, you can't catch your breath, and your face is a mucousy mess and you don't care. Whether you're interceding for a loved one or for something that's going on in your life, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter. But at that moment, you have entered a realm of warfare. You have entered a realm of prayer. That's why the Spirit's there. That's why He helps you with groanings that cannot be uttered, which is why it's so necessary to have that. It's so necessary to understand Psalm 62, 7, and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Pour out your heart. Be honest with Him. He knows what you're thinking anyway. Doesn't mean to be disrespectful. Doesn't mean to be profane. It doesn't mean to forget who He is and where you are at that moment. But pour out your heart and tell Him the truth. Lord, I don't understand. Help me to understand. If you're weary, tell Him, I'm weary, Lord. Help me. Take away my weariness. Send me strength. Ask the Spirit to help you because, folks, the time is coming. We must be awake. We must be ready. We must be ready to move. Psalm 86, 6 and 7, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'm not talking ritualistic prayers. I'm not talking formulaic prayers. I'm not talking these man-made. I'm talking about praying in the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you. Maybe it won't be in English. Maybe it'll be in the heavenly language. But let Him guide you in what to say and who to pray for and how to. There's a scripture, whatever it is. I referred to Romans 8, 26 through 28. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. If you don't know how to pray, say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray. Help me to pray. He will do it. But I'll give you a little clue. It only works if you're awake. It only works if you're available. It only works if you care enough to do it, if your heart is opened, if your mind is clear. You can't be caught up in this world. You can't be distracted by social media. You can't be worried about all the things that the world wants you to worry about. You need to set your mind and your heart and every ounce of your being on Him. Science has proven when you pray that way, when you think that way, you can affect even your DNA. A woman that wants to be pregnant so badly, her mind will convince her body that she's pregnant. Now, she won't actually be pregnant, but her body will take on all the attributes of being pregnant, including the belly and all the things that women get. So if your mind can do that, just what think your spirit can do when the Holy Spirit's working with you. When you begin to pray and you begin to believe and you begin to target an area, be specific, focus in it, be aggressive in it. But it only works if you're awake. See, the Lord cited as an indication of the conditions He gave us to exist in this world prior to His return. One of those things would be the people would be perishing, their souls would be at risk, and the church would be inactive and asleep. and his word has been fulfilled. We don't know when he's coming. We better not have wasted it sleeping. We better not be the foolish virgins who have lamps, but they have no oil. Which means there are people that have lamps, but they have no light. Oh my goodness, if that is not an example of so many people in the body right now. They have lamps, but they have no light. I don't know, is anybody hearing? Is anybody listening? Is anybody willing to say, no more, I will not be distracted. I will not be unprepared for his return. Father, in the name of Yeshua, help us to wake up. We don't know when you're going to return, Lord. We don't know when the Master is coming back. But we have to be busy and active and about our Father's business. We want to be ready, and we want to be ready now, Lord. That's why we cry out for the healing. That's why we cry out for the provision. That's why we cry out for the direction. That's why we cry out to you, Lord. Send your angel, send your manna, send your blessing, not because we want to hoard it, not because we want to hold on to it, not because we want to revel it or put it in a trophy case or people to know, oh, look how special I am. No, no, no. We want to go rescue those lambs that have foolishly wandered off and the shepherds either don't care or don't know. We want to drive off the wolves. We want to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We want to cast out demonic spirits. We want the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. We want to raise the dead. We want to pray people into the kingdom. We want to plunder the kingdom of darkness. We want to take the spoils and destroy the work of the enemy. So, Lord, help us. It's so amazing that we want to serve you, but we need your help to do it. But you knew that. That's why you sent the Spirit. You knew that. That's why you sent the fire. Lord, whoever needs to hear this, let them hear it. Wake up. Wake up. Be who you were called to be. Submit to the will of the Lord for your life. Do what he has called you to do. Do what he has told you to do. Stop listening to the one on the right or to the one on the left or be worried about what your friends or your family will think. Sell out. Trust in him. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let's cast off. Let's cast off the deeds, the worthless deeds of darkness. Let's help others to do it too. I'm praying for you right now to do that. I'm praying for the shackles to fall off. I'm praying for the piece of the grave cloth from your prior life that's still on you and you kind of know it, but you don't want to let it go. By the wind of the Spirit, let it be blown away right now in Yeshua's name. I pray for you to have the courage to confess to him what he already knows. I pray for you to have the courage to pull out into the light what's been hiding in the darkness. I pray for you to have the ability to wake up. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.